I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about a number of different items. There's some interesting things going on. There's a lot of talk on the internet about the new film that's getting ready to be released on Beauty and the Beast. Disney now is doing a non-cartoon version of Beauty and the Beast with real-life actors and this kind of thing. And all of the controversy in the Christian community and in other parts of the world has to do with the fact that now Disney is going to introduce a gay character, a homosexual character, into the Beauty and the Beast storyline. And of course, what they're doing is they're trying to capitalize on the success of the cartoon, the animated Beauty and the Beast, that was very, very successful, that people all over the world have seen, and that children in particular are captivated with. And it appears that what Disney's trying to do now is, as they retell this story in a different way, they want to capitalize on the storyline and say, okay, they know they're going to have a certain audience that's automatically going to go and see the film, and that many, many families are going to be taking their kids to see the film ordinarily. And so in the midst of this, they decide to insert a gay character into the storyline. And of course, there are many in the Christian community, not the least of which is Franklin Graham, who are calling for a boycott of the film. Of course, I tend to agree. I think Christians should have nothing to do with it. It's an obvious attempt at trying to brainwash children with the homosexual agenda. Now, I mean, what is really stunning is you have people in the Christian community, or people who profess to be Christians, who think it's a bad idea to boycott the film. And they'll say things like, I've read one article, some guy saying, well, if you're going to boycott Beauty and the Beast because they have a gay character, then you should boycott every film where there's some kind of immorality that's going on that's outside the biblical model, etc. This kind of thinking. And of course, I just think that these kind of arguments are absurd when obviously targeting children is exactly what Disney is trying to do. And anybody who studied this entire movement for the past few decades, and of course, we talk about it going back to Alfred Kinsey. We've got our film, The Kinsey Syndrome, where we expose a lot of these things. But from the beginning, the whole purpose of the so-called sexual orientation movement was to usher in pedophilia. That's always been the purpose. And if you remember that, then everything that they're trying to do, you'll see they continually go after the kids. And anybody who studies that movement knows that that's what it's all about. That's where it's headed. And I have believed for a while that this is the reason why the Democrats and the gays are aligned with Islam. They're aligned with Islam on this. Why? Because Islam has already normalized pedophilia, because the Prophet Muhammad married a 9-year-old girl. And so they believe that's perfectly acceptable to this day. And so they've normalized pedophilia with young girls, and they've normalized also pedophilia with young boys. Pederasty, it's called. The molestation of young boys. I found out recently that you've got passages in the Quran that describe young boys in paradise as pearls and this kind of thing. where there are innuendos of desire and this kind of thing for young boys. So this apparently has been part of Islam for centuries. Centuries. Now, for some reason, they will condemn to adult gay men. That is condemned. But an older man and a younger boy is apparently somewhat normalized in Islamic culture. And it would appear this is what the gays, this is what the Democrats, the Muslims, and I would even say the Jesuits have all in common, because we know that there is a, in the covert Catholic priesthood, you have a whole network of pedophiles. Network of pedophiles. And what they're trying to do is advance this agenda. Now, does that mean that there are Jesuits and Muslims and everybody behind Disney's Beauty and the Beast? No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. But Disney is most certainly a part of this. Most certainly a part of this. It's unthinkable that they would put something like this in a film that they know is going to target children. It's unthinkable that they would do it. Franklin Graham, in his comments, talked about how when he was a young boy with his father, Billy Graham, that they met Walt Disney, you know, who founded Walt Disney and Disney Studios and all the rest of it. And he said that Disney, he thought, would be grossly disappointed or seriously disappointed, words to that effect, in the direction that the company is taking today. Then you factor in the whole Hollywood connection in this, because Hollywood for years, of course, has supported the entire gay agenda. And there are all of these allegations that have come out. I've heard these things for years, brethren, coming out of Hollywood and them having some kind of pedophile cult in Hollywood. Elijah Wood, somewhat famously, came out some time ago talking about the fact that pedophilia is part of the culture in Hollywood, that this is a problem in Hollywood. You can go look up articles on pedophilia in Hollywood. The Daily Beast has an article that says Hollywood's pedophilia epidemic exposed in an open secret. It's a review of a documentary. And this apparently Oscar-nominated documentary filmmaker Amy Berg explores the seedy underbelly of Tinseltown in her eye-opening expose, which includes a shocking on-camera confession. Now, Amy Berg, she did another film a few years ago called Deliver Us from Evil. I think that was the name of it, but she chronicled the activities of a Catholic priest who was a pedophile and how the Catholic Church, the cardinals and so on, moved pedophile priests back and forth and so on, and basically protected them. So Amy Berg, who, by the way, I haven't seen this newest film of hers, but I saw her earlier film, which was just brilliantly done. She's very, very talented. And her work is very, very interesting. But she's exposed this whole thing. When you look at all of the players in this game, this is something that they all have in common. They all have in common. And now you've got Disney promoting this, trying to promote, because that's where it begins, trying to normalize homosexuality, normalize it then to kids, take it to kids, and then go the next step, which they are hoping eventually would be to find a way to legalize pedophilia. And God forbid that should ever happen in our country. So I completely disagree with those who say that we're supposed to judge this situation as though we need to boycott necessarily any film that has some sort of immorality in it. Not every film is targeting children. Not every film is targeting children. And not every film is part of a greater agenda to bring in, to usher in systematic harm to the children of our country. Children who live in countries where the molestation of kids is not illegal, those children often lead just horrible lives. They have a terrible existence. And to think that that could be normalized in America ought to just make every single citizen furious. And especially in the Christian community, it ought to make us furious. And we ought to just say we're absolutely not going to compromise on this issue. Not at all. But they're not going after kids for no reason. They're going after kids because they have a greater agenda. They don't just keep going after children over and over and over again, keep trying to get into the schools, changing bathroom laws, knowing that they're going to expose kids to transgender, sexual perverts going into the bathrooms and this kind of thing. They know what they're doing. Then you've got this this website, Premier Christianity, which looks like a very well-developed site, but it's just got, I don't know that much about the site, but it's got to be a left-wing liberal outfit. There's no question. The headline on this says, quote, Christians should think twice before boycotting Disney's gay Beauty and the Beast. It says, quote, it was announced today that the live-action remake of Beauty and the Beast will feature Disney's first-ever gay character and love scene. Luke Aylin explains why boycotting the film would harm the gospel. End quote. I mean, that's what it says. Explains why boycotting the film would harm the gospel. And of course, the article, the intro at least, is being written by somebody calling themselves a gay Christian. And of course, we don't believe there is such a thing as a gay Christian, quote unquote gay Christian. That's a contradiction in terms. Why? Because somebody who's practicing homosexuality without repentance. No, Jesus said, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. A person cannot justify their sin and claim to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those people are not true followers. The Bible says so, not because I say so, not because some pastor says so, but because the scripture says so. The scripture says, he who says, I know God, and does not keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Jesus said, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. So the whole concept of a gay Christian or somebody who can lead an immoral life and rebel against God openly. And the thing is, this is not a gray issue in the scripture. Whether it's the Old Testament or the New, it's very, very clearly laid out. So a person who's pursuing that lifestyle has to decide whether or not they want to be a follower of Christ or whether or not they want to justify their sinful behavior. The scripture says those who confess their sin and forsake it will be forgiven, but those who justify their sin will be condemned. And yes, we have. I mean, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says very clearly, be not deceived, neither fornicators nor adulterers nor homosexuals will inherit the kingdom of God. But then Paul says, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So Paul is talking about those who have been forgiven these sins. Yes, it's possible for somebody who's gay to be forgiven and to be washed from that sin. That's entirely possible, but they've got to be willing to repent and turn away from it and put their faith in Christ. But it's important to remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, do not think I came to destroy the law. And that's important because you have some who make the argument, they'll say, well, we're not under the Old Testament law, they say, so they think that somehow or other negates Leviticus. Of course, they don't ask themselves the question, well, why is Paul specifically describing that sin in Romans chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians 6? Why is he specifically condemning that behavior if it doesn't matter anymore? But it's important to remember, Jesus said, do not think I came to destroy the law. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one jot or tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever, therefore, shall break the least command and shall teach others so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus did not come to somehow or other tell mankind that it's okay to practice sin. That's not the case at all. Not the case at all, brethren. All right, let's go to our commercial break, and we'll talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part three in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the Scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America. Our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Today, we're talking about a number of things. I ended up going on and on about Beauty and the Beast there, the first half of the show, longer than I thought I was going to. But I wanted to cover some other issues. I wanted to do an update here on the situation between the Jesuits and Islam. I stumbled on an article earlier on a website called thinkingfaith.org, thinkingfaith.org, written by a Jesuit priest named Damien Howard, S.J. And the article says, the headline says, Ignatius of Loyola, Apostle to the Muslims. Ignatius of Loyola, Apostle to the Muslims. That's what it says. Then, and remember now, this is being written by a Jesuit priest. And he says this, right at the beginning. It says, quote, to educate the youth of Europe, to fight the spread of Protestantism, while many people would guess that one or both of these ambitions drove Ignatius of Loyola to found the Jesuits, he actually had something else in mind, a mission to the Muslim world. Okay, a mission to the Muslim world. And I'm reading this and I'm thinking, you know, in all the years that I've been studying the history of the Jesuits, things that they've done in centuries past and in modern times, I've never heard anybody put this particular spin on Ignatius Loyola and the founding of the order. It's always been understood from any book I've ever read, any article, anybody I've ever interviewed on it, that the Jesuits were founded in, or they were commissioned in 1540. They were actually brought together years earlier. They had their beginning. But when they got to the Pope and the Pope gave them their commission, it was specifically to launch the Counter-Reformation, to overturn Protestantism. And I'm not entirely certain where this particular Jesuit is going with this argument, But it's to me, it's just one more connection between Rome, the Jesuits, and this whole Islamic movement that they are bringing into Western Europe more and more, that they are normalizing in Canada more and more. I mean, the situation in Canada is very, very grim, in my opinion. As long as Justin Trudeau is there, I hope the Canadians push back on this. And here in the United States, the conflict goes on, but as long as Trump is in the White House and his administration, there's going to be more and more resistance to the attempts to advance Islam in America. But there's already a network of Muslims throughout this country. And there's an article, very interesting article online about Keith Ellison, Congressman Keith Ellison, who is a Muslim, and how he has this plan to try and increase the number of Muslim congressmen in the Congress in the years ahead. And that this is something he's, you know, hoping to do. Now he's the deputy chair for the DNC. They've created an office for him because it was between him and the other guy, and the other guy ends up winning. And so they create this other office, the deputy chair for the DNC, and he is in that role. So they've got these two radicals running the Democratic Party right now. One of them is a Muslim. They've both been Jesuit educated. I talked about that on an earlier program. And there's no question that they have not given up their plan. Not at all. They still want to advance this thing in our country. They still want to advance the Sharia, and with that comes the abuse of women and children. See, to me, that's how all of this is working together. All of this is coming together. It's why you have all these players cooperating one with another in ways that don't, if you believe what the mainstream media tells everybody these groups are supposed to be about, their alliances don't make any sense whatsoever. You're just wondering, they have nothing in common, or so it seems. How can they all be working together? And yet they are. They are working together. And they're working together for a reason. All right, another thing I wanted to point out, there's a very interesting article on, I stumbled on this the other day, on the website, thereligionofpeace.com, that I mention every now and again. They have an article there. If you're looking for a resource on Islam, to talk about how the Quran promotes violence against non-Muslims, the infidels, this article is probably the best I've ever seen, because there are so many quotes that the author has assembled from the Quran that have to do with violence, killing the infidel, cutting their heads off, cutting off their hands and feet, etc., etc. But it's a very, very well developed article with lots and lots of quotes, and goes over all these different quotes from the Quran. And then you've got quotes from the Hadith and Sirah that follow. And it's just, it's a extensive article. We don't have time to go over it on the program today. I did, however, want to go ahead and give you, while we're on the website, religionofpeace.com, the Jihad Report for February of 2017. Now that we're into March, the Jihad Report, there were 156 attacks in the month of February of this year, 156 jihadi attacks, 953 people were killed by jihadi attacks in the month of February this year, 1,335 people were injured, there were 22 suicide blasts, and there were a total of 20 countries affected. And that's according to the Jihad Report here at thereligionofpeace.com on that website. Now, just so you know, if you go and research their claims about the number of attacks, they provide the list of attacks and then links to news articles around the world in different media, international media, that report these attacks. That's where they get them from. And when people have investigated them on this in the past, they've come to the conclusion that religionofpeace.com, and it's actually thereligionofpeace.com. But they've concluded that the website tends to report fewer terror attacks or jihadi attacks than have actually occurred. So chances are the numbers are higher than what they're reporting on this website. Just bear that in mind. And over on Front Page Mag, I wanted to draw attention to an article there because this pertains to something that I've seen ongoing for years. I've heard this kind of in among researchers, among people who do in-depth research into this kind of thing. They've talked about this for years. But here, an article on Front Page Mag, the headline says, quote, "Why do American Jews want thousands of Jew haters in America?" And then the article goes on from there talking about how you've got Jewish groups and Jewish leaders who are actively promoting this mass importation of Muslims into America. And of course, the article asks the question, what are they thinking? The Muslims, if they come in, the more you have a buildup of Muslims, the more you're going to have anti-Semitism, because this is exactly what's going on in France right now. You study the situation in France, you have Jews that are leaving France by the thousands because the anti-Semitism is on the rise. The attacks of against Jewish people in France are increasing. And so there are some who are just baffled how it is that Jewish leaders and so on would actually encourage the mass immigration of Muslims into America. But I guess we could ask the same question about certain evangelical Christian groups or Catholic groups and so on, who are essentially doing the same thing, despite all the persecution by Muslims against Christians. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. We are out of time. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.